May not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and perhaps even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone line is open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, let's go ahead and get our program started this morning afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. I just pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to lift up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world around us. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to point people not only to Christ, but also point people to your word and help them to see that your word's reliable, it's believable, it's intelligent, and it's understandable if we'll simply allow you to help us. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. What a beautiful day here in northeastern Ohio. And it's just the leaves are changing color and a lot of colors coming out. Looking out front yard this morning, getting ready for the radio program, and the tree in the front blazing with various shades of red, and one in the back turning all yellow, and another one turning orange and red, and different things with scarlet and purpley red colors and things. Just a beautiful time of year. Temperatures have been just fantastic. It just to have temperatures this nice at this time of year, this is a bonus. And I just thank God for the day. If you've got a chance to get out and enjoy some of it, it's not raining like it was yesterday and not quite as humid as yesterday, but it's a good day. And get out and appreciate what God's given us. And I've said it before, I look out in days like this and the beauty of God's creation, and it certainly is beautiful, but I look at it and I'm mindful that what we're looking at is a cursed creation. The Bible says in Romans that the whole world groans under the curse, and this is not as beautiful as what God originally created. This is the after effects of what he created. This is something that's damaged. We're looking at damaged goods. We're looking at a damaged world, a cursed world. But I can't wait to see what it's going to be like when a new heaven and a new earth and God restores this world back to the splendor at which he originally created. And you can see that too if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says there's only one way to Christ, despite the Pope saying not too long ago that atheists can get to heaven if they're true to their own conscience, and that Muslims will eventually get there as well because they worship the same God of the Bible. No, you have to trust Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible. There's none other name given under heaven among, I got that all messed up, don't I? None other name in heaven and earth is given to us other than the name of Christ. I'll just get back to that. Hadn't planned on going that way, but just thinking about that. We can only get to God and to heaven through Christ when we trust Christ as our Savior. What I wanted to talk about today, and before I got off on a little sidetrack there, looking out the window at the trees changing color out there, I want to talk today a little bit about perception. And of course, feel free to call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you and talk about your questions and look at things from that perspective. But and those numbers are 888-677-9673. But we have this perception, and I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, and I'm not ashamed to use those labels, but we've come through a time where amongst what we would call the fundamental evangelical Christians and what I would also classify as the new evangelicals and things of that nature, and even spilling over into denominational churches or the mainline denominations, as we call them, often really more liberal denominations and such as Methodists and Presbyterians and Anglicans and things like that. But we've come through a time where, to use a good Old Testament King James word, we've eschewed labels. We have avoided, we have not wanted to use labels. There's a Brethren church that I'm thinking of not too far from where I live and from where the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield is, just south of us. And they took the name Brethren off from their church sign, and they kind of renamed it. And if you drive by, you see a name, but it doesn't reflect what's in the church. I'm thinking of another Baptist church, actually, in the area, where they took the name Baptist off and they replaced it with Bible. And they spent a lot of money trying to replace Baptist with Bible on their church sign, on the name of that's on the building, also on their letterhead and their envelopes and all of those things. They got rid of the name Baptist and put Bible on there. And I was talking with somebody a couple of years after they did that, and they said that in reality, it didn't make a bit of difference. But see, we had this bill of goods that was kind of sold to us that denominational names or specific names like Baptist or Methodist or Brethren drive more people away or prevent more people from coming to your church than it brings in. And people are afraid of those names, and that you need to have something generic like the Father's House or something, you know, Grace Community Church or just Grace Church or Fellowship of Believers or something that sounds kind of, you know, inclusive and community-oriented, so you'll get a lot of community fellowship or community church things in there, and maybe something Bible-oriented, so Bible Church or Bible Fellowship, but anything to avoid using terms like Baptist or Lutheran or something like that, because that's going to drive people away. And without citing all the studies and everything, essentially what happened is you had a bunch of people, church leaders, talking with church growth advisors and experts, and they talked to each other, and they came to the conclusion that church names were driving people away and keeping people from their churches, and these church advisors advised the church leaders that you need to take denominational names off, you'll get more people. Well, after a while, the results started coming back in. It really didn't do any good. In fact, they found in some studies that actually, if you have a denominational name on your church, it's more likely to bring people in that don't go to church than it is to dissuade them from coming. And the reason is that when people who do not go to church make the decision to get back or to go to a church, to select a church, or perhaps somebody that maybe they went to a church when they were much younger, maybe when they were growing up, what they do is they look for a church name that's more familiar to them. Let's say that when they were a child, their grandmother took them to a Baptist church. Well, when they start looking to go to church, they've grown up, they've not been in church maybe decades, and they've got children now of their own, and they're thinking, you know, we ought to get into church. What church should I go to? They will look for a church that has a name similar to one that they might have went to when they were a child, or even if they never went to church as a child, but they knew that grandma and grandpa went to the Baptist church, that's the type of church they'll look for, and they will look for those names, and by having a name on the church, you're actually likely to attract more unchurched people than not. See, it's just the church people that play, you know, musical chairs with their churches, bouncing from one church to another, that are impressed with, you know, the Potter's House or something like that for a church name. But people who don't go to church at all, they're more likely to look for a church that has a name that's familiar. And so if we look at that, names mean something. And that's kind of what I wanted to get to. Over in 1 Corinthians and chapter 14, there's an interesting statement that's made here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And starting about verse number 7, it says, "And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Or if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" Now, this overall context is talking about tongues and the proper use of tongues in the church and things of that nature. But the point here in this little section here, he's saying that when the pipe or the harp or the trumpet is sounded, it has to have a distinction so that people would know what was meant by that. Remember back in days gone by, they would use trumpet blasts or toll a bell or something like that. Many of you probably live in communities where even today at noon they'll sound a siren from somewhere around the town hall or something like that. And then, of course, we have tornado sirens and things. You hear those, and you recognize the sound, and it tells you something. Well, that's what a church name really should be. It should be something of distinction that gives you an idea of what's in the church. I was talking with a friend of mine, and he had some family members in Florida that were looking at a church, and he was asking me about two churches. And one was called Calvary Baptist Church, and the other was called, if I remember correctly, Christ Life Community Church. And he asked me what I thought of these two churches, and I said, well, Christ Life Community Church, who knows what that is? That could be a Baptist church, that could be a Lutheran church, that could be an Assemblies of God church, that could be a Methodist church, that could be a Presbyterian. You have no concept, nothing, no idea what that means. At least the Calvary Baptist Church gives you an idea that the people who meet there, more likely than not, though it's not always a guarantee, sometimes churches can be mislabeled just like anything else, but more likely it's probably a church that holds to the Bible as their final authority and holds to the idea that God inspired the Word of God and it was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we read, and that they practice baptism by immersion exactly the way that they did in the days of the early church in the book of Acts. They immersed people under the water. In fact, that's what the Greek word that we get baptized comes from. It talks about immersing under the water and bringing up out of the water, as opposed to sprinkling. That was a different word. If they sprinkled, we would be called rantizos today instead of Baptists, because rantizo was the word for sprinkling or pouring water on somebody. Baptizo was the word for immersing under the water, bringing them up out of the water. And again, that's what we find. Peter, when he, I'll get there eventually here, when we look at some of the baptisms that they presented in the Bible, it was always immersion, bring up out of the water, and down under the water, and bring them up out of the water. And I don't want to get too much off into baptism right now, but also the idea that baptism was always done upon profession of faith, not because of faith, but upon profession of faith. And so when you see named Baptist on a church, that's what you would assume, something along those lines. Also the idea that salvation comes by the grace of God when you hear the gospel and you trust Christ as your Savior. So Baptist gives you that idea. Christ Life Church or Community Church gives you no idea what might be taught there. They might believe those things, or they might believe that the Word of Man is equal to the Word of Scripture. They might believe that baptism somehow regenerates you. They might believe that they might believe anything. There's no idea. Here's a good way to visualize it. Imagine walking down through the grocery store and an aisle just covered with shelves filled with cans of food. And one can says, New Life Food. Another can says, My Father's Food. Another can says, Calvary Food. Another can says, Grace-Filled Food. Another can says spirit-filled food. Okay, but what's in the can? You have no idea. At least if it said, Calvary beans, you would have an idea there's beans. Now, it might be pinto beans. It might be green beans. It might be black beans. It might be some type of beans. You don't know what kind of beans it is necessarily, but at least you got a better idea. And, if you don't like beans of any kind, you're not going to buy that can. If it said, New Life corn, well, then that gives you a little idea. There's got to be something on the label that should indicate what's inside. And hopefully when you buy a can of canned vegetables at the store and you bring it home, you open it up and what's inside corresponds to the label. You're awful disappointed if it don't. And that's where names on churches are important. They should give an indication. You want to reach people, if you're a Baptist, I don't want to say be proudful or prideful of being a Baptist, but be honest and open and say, I'm a Baptist. I believe that salvation is a gift of God. It's the grace of God that we receive when we by faith believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over death and sin. And I believe that, and that's something that I stand for. I believe that when you get saved, you are saved purely by what Christ did on the cross, by nothing else, but that you give a public testimony of that faith in Christ by being immersed under the water, which shows Christ being put into the tomb. He didn't have his head stuck into the tomb or a little dirt thrown on him. No, he was fully engulfed in the tomb, and then he came out of the tomb, which is why we Baptists bring people out of the water. We don't leave them underwater there for too long. And we're proud to do that as a testimony of our faith in Christ, identifying with what Christ did. And we don't believe that it's necessary for salvation, but we believe that it represents our salvation as a public testimony, and we do it as a step of obedience. And then when we take the Lord's Supper, we believe that we're representing, picturing the sacrifice that Christ gave on the cross, where he gave his body to be broken for us, the bread without leaven that was broken for us. And then we drink the fruit of the vine, the juice, without the taint of sin, representing the blood of Christ, without the taint of fermentation, I should say, because fermentation is a type of sin, representing the blood of Christ that's without the taint of sin, the pure, precious, holy blood of Christ that was shed for our sins. And so we understand these things. And you go to a church, you don't know what they are, what they believe, what they mean, what they do when they do the Lord's Supper or baptism. You don't know what they mean by those things. But at least in a Baptist church, if they're true to the Baptist doctrine, they'll be true to the Bible doctrine on the Lord's Supper and baptism. Well, I'll talk about that quite a bit here, but we've got Nancy in Euclid hanging on, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And Nancy, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call today. And yes, I've heard a lot of people, they're dependent upon their baptism for salvation, and it gives you a good opportunity to witness to them. But my the topic that I wanted to bring up today is from 1 Timothy 4:8.
Okay.
Do you familiar with it? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. But I think that too many people look at just that first phrase, bodily exercise profiteth little, and use that as an excuse not to exercise. Well, the Bible says it doesn't profit you very much. They don't look at the rest of it. But then I wanted to use an example of Reverend Noah Hutchings. I'm sure you're familiar with him from
right.
Radio Church. I don't know if you happened to hear on his show when he mentioned a couple of years ago he had a heart attack with a quadruple bypass, and then he changed his entire exercise diet regime, and he's doing extremely well. He lost a lot of weight. He exercises an hour and a half daily at the Y. He's 92 years old, and he's had this Southwest Radio Church for 60 years, and he's eating healthy foods now. So, I mean, it's never too late, for people to change their exercise and eating habits And it's really unfortunate. Some people, I think, use this Bible verse as an excuse not to exercise.
Oh, and you're absolutely right, Nancy, because, you know, in the verse, and they're taking it out of context, because what it's trying to say is what we do for the flesh really is not going to really profit in the long run. It's what we do for God. You know, because I could spend all my time exercising and, you know, make myself as healthy as possible and neglect the study of God's Word. And what's that going to do when this body passes away? Because
But you can do both.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Not
and
a,
that's
not a case of either or.
Yeah, and that's the flip side of it. When people don't put that in context, they forget that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's verse 16. And then verse 17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And also likewise in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, I think it is. Let's see. Mm-hmm. He says again, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God, and you're not your own?" So we have this temple that we dwell in, this physical body. We know that it's going to die, and we know that if we go through death's door, or if the rapture takes place, this body that we have, if we die, is going to go into the ground and decay, and then at the rapture, we're going to be given a new body. This body will be resurrected and changed. If we're alive when the rapture takes place, the current body that we have will be changed into an incorruptible body. But if we want to serve God effectively, like you gave the example of Noah Hutchings, 90-some years old, still serving God, if we take care of this body that God gave us, the body in which the Holy Spirit is indwelling as the temple of God that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians, we'll have more time to do more for the Lord.
You know, I've mentioned this to people several times, and you know, when you're talking about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit, I got saved back in 1981, and I was still, there's one little sin I was hanging on, well, I'm sure I have other ones too, but still drinking at parties, just occasionally, maybe four times a year. And this born-again Christian friend of mine, Holly, she looked at me and she shook her finger in my face and she says, "You know, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to do anything to hurt the Holy Spirit?"
Right.
You know, I never took another drink after that.
Exactly.
It really, you know, sometimes people say things to you that are scriptural. Sometimes they sink in, other times they didn't. But just her saying that, and I didn't know where it came from, 1 Corinthians 3:16, thank you.
Right, and drawing on that, you know, one of the real battles, you know, as a pastor, that pastors have to struggle with in particular, because we're called to do a lot of time where we're just not doing a whole lot physically, because you get time to study and prayer and Bible reading and you know, this sort of thing. And then people want to feed you,
and that is a problem.
Yeah, and I know that there at your church, you have some fantastic dinners and some fantastic cooks.
Thank you.
And when you have a good dinner, you want to try
and
sample the food.
So do you. I went to your 11th anniversary.
Yeah,
the food there was fabulous.
Yeah, but you know, the danger is, it's like one guy told me one time. He said, you know, that this is back when people wore vests more than they do today. And I was actually over in England. It's the church where I rededicated my life to the Lord, a little missions church in England, offside the Air Force Base where I was stationed. And this guy pointed to his vest, and he said, "You know what this is?" He said, "It's a Baptist potholder." And because he was a little overweight, but it's a real danger. And of course, there's the music there. We're running out of time, Nancy. Appreciate that. But we do need to make the effort. And even if we're struggling with weight a little bit, we can be careful the kind of food that we take in. You know, if all we eat is junk food, you know, we can starve ourselves nutritionally and overindulge on sugar and salt. Sugar is probably one of the single worst things that we take into our system on a daily basis that leads to heart attacks and such and high blood pressure. We need to watch what we eat, eat healthy, try to eat whole foods, natural foods. Don't have time to get into all that. Maybe someday we'll talk about the type of foods that a Christian ought to eat to take care of the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because if we take care of this body, we can do more for God in the long run. And, you know, the sicker we get, the more limited we are. Well, we're out of time. Good question there. Good topic. I hope you'll join us again next week. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations